Ladies and gentlemen, happy new year and welcome to the first football podcast of 2014.
Oh, we haven't got the bloody...
Happy new year,
we don't,
everyone.
Yeah.
Happy new year.
Happy new year. New show year. Number 158. Have you all had good Christmases?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had a great Christmas.
Jim, Dan and surprisingly Andy.
Yeah.
Not a daddy
I'm
yet.
I'm cool.
No baby Jesus.
A cameo appearance. I could leave at any time.
Well, you never know. You might be here again next week.
You never know.
Did you put the sharp on Christmas that we were
I put it up on Christmas morning.
He did actually. I checked this. Yeah. I actually checked that. Yeah.
Sad.
And on that, Dan,
I always shout.
What did you give Spurs this season?
Well, no. Do you know what? No. I gave him a 7 or an 8, right? And actually,
and you also said proudly because we've only conceded one goal since we lost to Man City, and we're unbeaten.
Yeah, it was recorded
a few days before the Liverpool game. So I was a 7 or 8. Then the disaster at Liverpool and AVB sacking, and it looked like. Throwing in Tim Sherwood and not having a clue. Now, actually, I think we're back to the 7. I think we're back to the 7 or 8.
I don't think you're an 8. I think maybe a 7.
We're definitely a 7.
I would still probably put you where I would have at the time as a 6.
No. Where would reflection, where's United?
I'd still have United. I'd maybe I was at 4.5 now.
Got an interesting stat.
Until yesterday, we did have quite a good Christmas.
I've got an interesting stat. United are the first reigning champions to lose at home on the 1st of Jan since Liverpool in 1948.
Ah, that's an interesting
from
one.
The Daily Mail.
Is that interesting?
Well, the last...
I found that mind-numbingly boring.
I think the last time that we lost on...
Champions losing on New Year's Day at home.
I think the last time we lost on New Year's Day, we weren't the champions, but it was to Spurs again in 1996. And we went on to win the league that season, but I don't think we're going to do it this year.
And do you think we were robbed by a bad penalty decision?
You can't moan about not getting a penalty when Ashley Young's earned us at least 2 penalties through diving in the last couple of years. So
well, you had 2 players diving yesterday again, didn't you? Welbeck and Januzaj.
Welbeck was naughty. Poor.
It was Januzaj.
As I was just...
Again.
Well, Januzaj...
The
thing with Welbeck, as I said in the office before we came, you can forgive him because he's got great hair, whereas Ashley Young, he doesn't have it.
Shouldn't
he can't get away with it.
Was it not 2-0?
2-1.
2-1.
Was it 2-1?
Welbeck scored again.
I watched that game and I thought it was 2-0.
Yeah. You had a good day then, Jim.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Are you feeling alright?
You probably thought that because they scored about 40 seconds after we got the second. So before you even realised that we'd kicked
before
off, they scored again.
Before you even stopped celebrating Tottenham scoring.
Yeah, nice little dink finish.
Yeah.
You could see it.
You know Jill's won 4-0 yesterday.
Did they bollocks? That's why I was smashed, because I was supposed to be going to a game and got called off. So it was just like, let's just drink then.
Yeah.
Gillingham scored 3 goals over the Christmas period and I saw none of them.
Oh, well.
Because they scored in the first minute, so I was still in the pub. They scored in the first minute of the second half, so I was still in the pub at the ground. And then they scored in the last minute, so I'd fucked off by then.
Yeah, nice.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So I've been to a lot of football over Christmas, but I've not seen any goals.
Scored by your own team.
Which is the best bit?
Well, yeah. No, I find the drinking the best bit.
We're
recording this Thursday. It's Thursday today, isn't it?
It is Thursday.
It is.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Gillingham versus Wolves is live on Sky Sports.
Oh, go on, Jules. Nice.
Get your football fix. It's the only league games on this weekend because it's all
FA Cup.
FA Cup, isn't it?
God, I bet the Wolves fans aren't enjoying that fact, are they?
What?
I bet they're not enjoying that they're going to be one of the only teams playing in the league. They're not in the FA Cup.
Well, a couple of seasons ago, that was
not top.
Premier League versus League 2 in the FA Cup, wasn't it?
Yeah. They're not top. They've had 1 win in 6. They're just not doing very well.
They will go top when they beat us tomorrow night, though.
Well, I don't think so. I think you're going to get at least a draw out of them and Brentford will stay top.
Is it at Gills?
God, you sound more deluded than me.
13 wins in 14 games,
you're
and the
fine.
Other one being a draw does not make me deluded. It
Where
makes
have
me
all those Juve roster haters gone now, eh?
Well,
Wigan.
Yeah. Well, he's unbeaten in 5 since he's been there as well.
Juve Rosler.
They're using
the league.
They're losing Juve. Nick Powell, aren't they?
Juve.
Yeah. But they are losing Powell and Will Keane, although he's hardly played. So.
We're a bit worried he's going to raid us for a few of our best players, actually. So I want this transfer window to be open and shut now.
Could Trotter make the step up?
I think Trotter's good
line,
enough,
isn't he?
But he's a.
Full That's of, what I mean.
The two players that we're worrying about losing, Adam Forshaw, who's by far and away the best player in midfield for us, and Harley Dean, and they were both at Premiership clubs before. We
Harley Dean is the Batman villain, isn't he?
Yeah.
It just sounds like Harvey Dean or Harvey Dent.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. For a pretty ugly fucker, he's got a very fit girlfriend as well.
Fair play.
Yeah. Well done, that man.
So he's as ugly as Two-Face, is he?
Two-faced.
I think, to be fair, that's...
Henry Two-Faced. Oh, come on.
I think that's something that three of us around this table could yeah. say, that we're ugly fuckers with much more attractive girlfriends. And yeah. then, damn, the best looking of the
Very
bunch
true.
Was, you're single, aren't you? So,
yeah, but
how the fuck does that work? Well, there you go. But are all those girls ugly, by contrast?
No.
Most of them in the office, aren't they?
Whoa.
Can't be wearing the same clothes as some of them. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Anyway, probably keep that on.
Yeah, we'll go back to football anyway. Yeah.
Oh, I'm quite interested in that.
We'll talk later.
Brentford had a very good Christmas.
We did. We're 100% Christmas.
Yeah.
We started December, 11 points off of Wolves and Orient. We're now 3 points.
I mean,
clear.
Orient, obviously, what
didn't
an
play
unbelievable,
yesterday.
Yeah, but what an unbelievable start they had, undefeated until the what yeah. game was it? Well, or no, 100% record for it as well. And now, what's happened to them last few games?
Well, we said, you know, they haven't got a squad big enough to maintain that form all the way through.
Yeah, what was the Orient result yesterday?
Our result.
The Orient result. Did they play?
Postponed game.
Okay, yeah. So their Christmas has been fucking brilliant. They
haven't done badly.
They did us on Boxing Day. They were 1-0 down, got two goals in the last couple of minutes and 1-2-1. Then they
smash and grab, though, wasn't it?
It's smash and grab. That's what you got to do. I came away from that game thinking we've been absolutely done over.
Gutted, yeah, yeah.
And how many Gillingham won the league last season? The amount of times I came out of games thinking we've absolutely done that. There. That's how you get promoted. That's how you win leagues.
Well, yeah.
They've done that, and then they went to Wolves and got a sellout game for that, and got a point up there, 1-1. They were 1-0 down, and they were getting absolutely bombarded.
If you look at 2013, full calendar year, actually, Orient had a very good year. In fact, Orient were the seventh best team when you go on league games.
And
they're actually points per game. Orient, according to sportingintelligence.com, Orient were the seventh most successful team in the country.
In fact, they were the best outside of the top flight.
No, but it's done on points.
Points per game. So Orient averaged 1.85 points per game over 37 games.
Well, why is it done on points? It's done on points too.
It's not.
Look,
that's just the points that they made. Jesus Christ.
Don't trust him with a spreadsheet.
What doesn't make any sense then?
What doesn't make sense?
Well,
it's done on points per game. 2.16 points per game. That's why they're top of the league.
Arsenal played 38 games.
88 points. But they're still ninth in the league. Well, there's loads of them. 77. You're a moron.
Yeah.
Interestingly, as well.
Top five, top six, really, no surprises. Arsenal, City, Chelsea, Tottenham, Liverpool.
Leighton Orient was 46 games, not 30.
Orient, Brentford, Mansfield, better than Everton. I was surprised Jules went in there because Jules had a great campaign in your promotion, but then you've not done well this year.
They've got the majority of those points in 2012. They absolutely smashed it in 2012.
Speaking of great campaigns when you get promoted, can we just say what an absolute prick Vincent Tan is for sacking Malky Mackay over Christmas? And as we speak, they're actually having the press conference to unveil Solskjaer.
Results haven't been good, have they?
I was going to say,
results haven't been... Well,
why are you shouting today? It's right in my ear.
Because you're next to me and I've missed you.
No, stop shouting.
Start shouting!
Mackay's done brilliantly out of that because they weren't doing very well.
No, they weren't doing well.
They weren't doing too badly either.
Wait, fourth from bottom?
They are now.
Considering the money we spent in the summer, if you look at other clubs that have.
They're not fourth from bottom because they've sat Malky Mackay, are they?
Yeah, but
they're fourth from bottom because of the form under his leadership.
I think he deserved
but
more
you can
time.
Also look at the last month or so's unrest at the club, and it's not then you can take into consideration.
Personally, I think Cardiff would have gone down under Mackay, and I think they've got a chance of staying up under Solskjaer. So if I was a Cardiff fan. Regardless
why?
Of all
why'd you say that? A man with no real experience apart from the Norwegian
because
league.
He's not Mackay.
Tim Sherwood's doing all right, isn't he?
He's got Champions League experience as well, Solskjaer. I'm depressed that he's gone there because I think it's the complete wrong move.
Ferguson apparently
told him not to.
Absolutely, don't fucking bother with
it. He's batshit crazy, Vincent Tan, isn't he? You don't know what he's going to do from 1 minute to the next.
So's Abramovich.
There was a wonderful rumour going around.
Booing his own team was quite funny.
Yeah.
What he didn't realise, the Cardiff fans weren't booing the team, the Cardiff fans were booing. Him basically. A few of them might have been booed because they dropped 2 points against Sunderland, but look, most of them have just been pissed off that they dropped points and then thought, oh fuck it, let's boo that twat.
So they're
booing
him. And he's like, maybe he thought they were saying boo urns like on the episode of The Simpsons.
Apparently, Vincent Tan has said that the directors at the club would only like any new manager to sign players with the number 8 in their birthdays.
Yeah,
which, to be fair, isn't that hard given that most players in their prime these days were born in the 80s.
let's not restrict the manager.
They'll be fine for 10 years because most players in the prime were born in the '80s. In 10 years time, they'll be fucked. Well, he was talking.
Yeah, but just because he didn't know, he didn't mean they didn't know you.
I heard you as well.
I want to keep making sure it's clear.
Say, Cox.
Man,
do you want me to shout it?
Vincent,
shout it for you. You're in.
I think there was a wonderful rumour going round about Christmas Day that Vincent Town was thinking of making himself manager. Now that would have been fucking hilarious.
Well, I'd like to see him and the guy at Fulham have a wrestling match.
Speaking of chairman who made himself manager,
Greco-Roman wrestling.
Andy Frank's relevant for you. Ron Nodes, former chairman and manager of Brentford, passed away over Christmas.
You didn't know his ills.
I didn't know at all. No. Well, anyway, our thoughts are with his
and
family.
Also the president of West Brom. I can't remember his name, unfortunately.
West Brom's a country.
No, they are the club president now.
Oh, okay.
So,
actually,
yeah.
Big Phil from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air died as well.
Big Scunthorpe fan as well.
Was he a Scunthorpe fan?
No.
Why would you say it?
I don't know.
Making football related.
Why would you make the fact that Big Phil would die?
He was the size of a football. Well, shape
he wasn't.
Football.
What sort of football have you been playing?
That is one of the most tenuous links I've ever had in my life, and I know a tenuous link.
Scunthorpe are now top of League Two, though. Yeah. Rochdale.
Oh, yeah, there's a tenuous link.
Dion Burton, remember him?
Yeah, very well.
Still scoring goals.
Talking
of forgotten strikers, what happened to Glenn Helder?
He's working here.
He is working here. Wait. Have a look at this. This is.
Well, they can't. They can't listen to our podcast.
They listen to it and they don't
well,
know.
We'll stick it on there.
They don't know who this person is.
Glenn
and they
Helder
don't know what the barman
used to
looks
play for
like.
Arsenal.
Yeah.
I think I agree with Jim though. I think he looks more like Tony Daly.
Well, what happened to Tony Daly? He's working behind the bar.
He's probably retired and.
Actually. We might try and take a picture of him and then ask pubcasters to cast a vote.
That would be a fucking good idea for a business. If I ever get loads of money, I'm going to open a bar and just have shit ex-Premier League footballers serving behind the thing. I'd go to the drink.
Who would be the manager? Who'd be the manager of the bar?
Bar manager.
Harry
Bassett. Big Ron, possibly.
Big Ron.
I do love... Ron Atkinson needs to come.
Ron Atkinson's friendly racism in the bar, don't they?
Ron Atkinson's pundit on MUTV now. He does most match days.
He's not.
He is, yeah. Genuinely.
No, do you know what's worse than that? The fact that you have MUTV.
I don't know, but I read it. Because on the United website, it came up with... And today's match pundit Ron Atkinson has given you the three options for man of the match. I can't believe United have. I've got nothing against
them,
but I can't believe they're the ones. It's a PR disaster waiting to happen, isn't it?
It is a little bit. Yeah.
I mean,
possibly because he hasn't. Freddie still doesn't really know what he said wrong.
Doesn't think it's wrong.
Well, Andy, presumably you watched Celebrity Big Brother last year, being our resident reality TV show fan. Didn't he say something racist on that?
Did he?
I think so.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Why am I?
No, I think you might be right.
He's just one of these guys.
I see it sometimes when Steph's watching it, but most of the time I'm on the computer playing Football Manager or something like that. So.
Oh, lad.
Banter,
yeah.
But yeah, so...
There's been loads of football, we haven't really...
There has. Yeah, well, it's difficult because Christmas is a haze, isn't it?
How upset are you that Spurs have now beaten you twice in a row at home?
We got the same results off of you last season as we did this season, so I can't be too upset. It's annoying, but it's like anyone beat. We always have bogey teams. It's a shame.
Four losses at home, though.
I know,
it's
a bogey team. We've beaten you twice in about 74 years. It's not a bogey team.
I was trying to denigrate you a bit, but we'll leave that.
Actually, do you know what I want to talk about? And Manuel Adebayor. What a frustrating player he is. Because in the current form he's in, he's as good as any striker in the Premiership. He's pretty much unplayable. Discuss.
Definition of a confidence player.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. And I think he has taken a lot from Sherwood. I think a lot of it has got to do with Sherwood. Because he was training with the youth team when he was shunned by Villas Boas. Sherwood's obviously seen what he's done. Sherwood's put all this faith in him, just told him to... He was saying after the first year his game back, he went, the manager said to me, you know how to play football, you've been around the block, you're a quality player, I'm not even going to tell you what to do, just go out and do what you want to do. And he said that gave me such a massive confidence boost. And the thing is, I think Sherwood's handled it really well. And like I said, he's a confidence player.
Well, Sherwood had nothing to lose from playing him, did he?
No.
It was like, right, well, let's give him a chance. If he does well, I'm going to take some credit for it.
And he had something to prove. And Adebayor was one of those players, which is fucking frustrating, like you say, but when he's got something to prove, he doesn't half deliver, and he's tracking back. He's been fantastic since he's come back.
Jim, you look like you don't really have anything to say on it.
He's a muppet.
He is.
Yeah. He is a
what
muppet.
A fucking player when he's playing well.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any room for players like that in a team. His teammates must just be looking at him thinking, right.
Is Berbatov any better with his commitment?
Yeah,
to
it's
his
worse.
Team? No, sure. No, but in terms of actually what he gives to his team over the course of a season, I mean, Berbatov's just as bad then, surely.
I think it's more...
The Spurs Fulham bought Berbatov knowing the sort of player he was. Spurs didn't buy Adebayor to do what he has done.
Yeah.
You can, say he's not been given a chance, but he was
like
given
a shot window player.
Spurs gave Adebayor a chance when he was on the outs at City. He just had a failed loan spell at Real Madrid.
I wouldn't call that failed.
He played
a lot of games under Mourinho
and he scored
played well.
Twice. He scored twice. When
should strikers just be?
Is he out of contract at the end of the season?
No.
So how long is his deal at Spurs?
I think he's got another year and a half or two and a half years.
More importantly, what's he being paid?
Exactly. People talk about Levy, the brilliant negotiator. He's got that muppet on his books, and he's still there.
Yeah, but
talking about Nile Ranger at Swindon. He's gone AWOL. They've cancelled his contract
again.
Yeah, they've now cancelled his contract.
He's got a problem. He's got a genuine problem.
And Marlon King's been released by Sheffield United.
I thought you were going to say released by Belmarsh.
No, he's actually
back inside. Is he?
No, he's back in court in March, I believe.
Speaking of back
I don't
in
think
court,
he'll get a club.
James Tompkins.
He's in trouble.
Arrested for. What was it? Charged with assault, resisting arrest, and drunk and disorderly after a night out in the Sugar Hut.
No. He didn't get in.
Oh, no,
they wouldn't let him in, would they?
They wouldn't let him into the Sugar Hut, and he got done for charged with police assault, which is pretty fucking serious.
Speaking of drunk and disorderly or Duncan disorderly, I found out over Christmas a lad I went to school with. His son's called Duncan Ferguson Taylor, after the Everton striker. Good old Duncan disorderly, but go on. Anyway,
go on.
Speaking of Dunk.
Donk.
Yeah, he's Donk.
Are we talking about the Northern Dance music or?
No, of course not.
You ever heard any Donks? It's just awful.
No. This happened just before Christmas, but before we did a show. Did anyone see it? It was Ryan Donk, the Dutch international, playing for Kasimpasar against Besiktas. Anyway, you know, on a number of occasions, the ball boys throw a second ball onto the pitch.
Ryan Donk used to play for West Brom, I think.
He definitely played in the Premier League. I can't remember who he played for. You know when a couple of occasions the ball gets thrown onto the pitch, two balls get thrown onto the pitch, you normally just kick the other one away. Well, Ryan Donk, for some reason, picked one of the other balls up and just held it for a while. And then when the Besiktas player was driving into the box, he just threw the other ball at the guy's feet, knocking the other ball out of the way. No, just threw it at like just straight out, hit the other ball and went off.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah. They scored, didn't they?
No, he gave him a yellow card.
What did the ref do?
He gave him
a yellow card.
Everyone sort of stopped and gone, just thrown the ball, like, what? You can't do that. It was pretty funny. Oh, no, there you go. Oh, yeah, and after that, a fan attacked a former Everton player, Fernandes.
Manuel Fernandes.
So it was just a bit of an absolute farce, to be honest, that game.
Sounds great.
But pretty funny, I thought. Very funny clip if you see it.
Oh, sounds good.
With all the football that was played over the Christmas break, was anyone else disappointed with some of the big games which were on telly? I watched a lot of those games on telly. And actually, yesterday was a massive...
Define the big games.
Yeah.
Arsenal Chelsea was fucking dog.
Oh, that was terrible.
I'm struggling to actually remember any of the games because they were that fucking boring.
Well, mate,
yesterday was an exception. There were three really good games.
Arsenal West Ham was a decent game. Everton Swansea was actually quite an entertaining game. Everton played very well.
I didn't get to see Everton Swansea.
It was a pretty abject Christmas for them as well.
Big game.
Cardiff Sunderland was a decent game.
No, but seeing the big teams.
Three goals in the second half.
Seeing the big teams, I didn't really.
Basically, we've just completely disproved your theory by mentioning five or six really good games.
Well, just because I didn't enjoy them. I'm talking about the big games.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. The big.
Yeah, how many times have we been on this show already this season and gone, cancel each other out?
That game
was a bit disappointing, wasn't it?
But I have to say, the reason why I said it was that yesterday was just such a good day of football. Like, United Spurs was great. Two teams actually lining up playing 4-4-2. That in itself is cheers, Jim.
North London Derby should be good on Saturday tea time,
I tell you what, actually, the
4-4-2 is more interesting formation.
Worst Christmas decision, Raheem Sterling's offside versus City when he was about 2 yards
pretty
off.
Pretty bad, yeah. No, but there was more than one bad decision in that game to cost Liverpool. Yeah. Liverpool deserved a point out of
that. Oh, that was naughty, wasn't it? Suarez did die. It was, Liverpool Chelsea. Yeah. There were some terrible decisions in that game as well.
Yeah. Liverpool have had a rotten Christmas as well.
Yeah, they've not had a good Christmas at all.
They've been lucky that United, Everton and Newcastle have all had very mixed Christmases behind them.
And what Arsenal have had a great Christmas, haven't they?
Derby in the Championship.
Yeah,
and
Derby
Luton
playing.
They played Kidderminster on the 27th, I think it was, or the 28th.
Yeah.
So between Christmas and New Year, they got 8,000 at home. They smashed them 4-5-0 and went top of the league. I think they won yesterday as well, so they've stuck.
Wigan beat Derby yesterday at Derby, though.
Talking about Luton
Town. You did mention Derby. Big win for Wigan.
When was the last time Derby lost, apart from that game?
They hadn't lost under Steve McLaren. I think he'd won something like 13 out of 14 or something ridiculous.
Unbelievable,
like,
right?
Jim Smith was saying that McLaren will get another chance as England boss. I saw that in the paper.
Really?
He probably won't.
I wonder what the bookies are giving for that.
Stranger things have happened at sea.
I tell you,
give it 20 years, you never know.
I fucking hope not.
Yeah.
Do you know I really can't stand as a football player? It's written down there, Charlie Adam.
Dirty fucker,
isn't he? We could have done with him in midfield yesterday.
It is disgusting. Like, the fact that he's now seriously injured.
How many people?
Three, but did bail twice. You know what I mean? So, like, he took Bell out twice. Like, the first time Bell was out for 3 months.
Yeah.
He took Scott Parker out, and now he's taking Paulinho out.
I still can't believe he was at Liverpool.
No, I can't believe it. But it's actually, when you look at all of the tackles, they're disgusting. Yeah, I think it was.
It was Doug Leash.
On free, yeah. He had a great year at Blackpool, but...
Probably the best bit of banter I saw over Christmas. After this tackle... the next day, it's fucking brilliant. Sandro tweeted a picture of a close-up of his face, looking very angry, just putting Charlie Adam capital letters. The beast is watching you.
Well, he's like you black belt third legend. Dan or something, isn't he?
He's a nutcase, and he's probably going to get in trouble for that because it'll be an aggressive tweet.
If there was any midfielder in the Premier League I could have at United at the moment, it'd be Sandro, because we could really fucking deal with him.
Mate,
but speaking of getting in trouble, what about Nicholas Quinnell and Elka? Have you seen these?
No, I haven't actually.
Oh, right, okay. So,
what actually happened?
Well, it's meant to be a reverse Nazi salute.
Well, it's a very strange one, I think, for us to understand over here.
What is it? That?
It is, yeah. One arm across the chest and the other arm pointed down in sort of a Heil Hitler, but pointing downward movement. It was popularised by a French Cameroonian comedian whose name I can't remember, but like Eric Jemma,
it's a mate of an Elka, isn't it?
He's got a surname that repeats itself. It's about Undoola or something. And he's famous in France.
He used to play for Gilles.
Maybe it is.
Was he an African Footballer of the Year?
He wasn't, no, he's not Roger Miller either.
Let's go with Gillian Ndumbu Nsungu.
Let's do it.
Former Gillingham striker,
he's the one who got
also
the cop,
is he really?
Yeah, he's played Sheffield Wednesday.
He's absolutely not.
Huh?
Was he the one you gave the trophy to?
No.
No. That was someone else who didn't understand.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this French comedian who's renowned for his... He's been charged with anti-Semitism in the past. He says he's anti-Zionist and anti-establishment. He's mates with Anelka. He's an idiot. But Anelka did the celebration. I'd forgotten Nicholas Anelka played in the Premier League until that game, to be honest. I mean, he's...
did quite well. Cut a tidy finishes. That was a good game as well.
He's missed a few point blanks.
The second half was. That was absolutely ridiculous. It was 1-0 at half-time. I switched it over and it was sunny...
So this is my mistake. I've gone for the headline games where really I should have been watching.
What about Hull scoring 6 in the second half against Fulham?
Yeah,
that's worth mentioning.
Oh, no,
I bloody hate Fulham. Here's a case in point for you. On what's the Tuesday before Christmas? 27th.
Christmas Day.
No, the Tuesday.
Before that.
The Friday before. When I saw you in the pub.
The 20th? 20th, yeah.
Yeah.
Friday the 20th, Gillingham took 196 fans to watch Tranmere away on a Friday night.
What a game that must have been.
Well, it was. We won 2-1. Yeah. Away win. And then on the Saturday, Fulham played at Everton. The travel was free and they took 160 fans.
That's poor.
Insane.
Free travel on a Saturday. Gillingham in League One, and we don't like Fulham, so someone put it on Twitter. That's why I say the comparison.
Getting near enough 200 Gilles fans up to Tranmere on a Friday, That's fucking good.
I don't know any like real apart of Rich in the office.
See, I don't know any real Fulham fans.
No, I know.
Most Fulham fans are people who live in London who want to go and see Premiership football, yeah, but don't actually support them.
I mean, they have a fucking neutral stand. What does that mean? How is that possible? I don't know.
You can't blame them for doing that. Charlton did the same when Charlton were in the Premier League. Living in Kent, and at the time living in South East London, they would market it. They'd say, "Come and watch Premier League football." Not come and watch Charlton. It would be come and watch.
But I mean, Fulham's a lot more accessible than Charlton as well. It's on the tube.
You just don't see them. I live in SW11.
Yeah.
I can walk to Fulham's ground in 10 minutes. I've never seen a Fulham ground.
So I grew up South West London. I do know some old school season ticket supporters at Fulham, but they're a lot more agitated than someone like yourself, you know, because they have to go and watch their club play and literally there's no one supporting the club. And going back to something we talked about a few shows ago, this is the fear that I have with Brentford, you know, building a 20,000 all-seater stadium.
Well, you've got to do it. I mean, the only way a club like Brentford are going to move forward, like Brentford,
any club, Brentford it doesn't have to be Brentford. Yeah.
Well, there's certain clubs that have got the tradition and history behind them that are just in a bad place, like Cardiff, for instance. Cardiff could have done it without moving out of Ninian Park. If Cardiff had got
Wimbledon AFC,
A team like Brentford, a team like Gillingham, Reading are the case in point. Reading used to get gates of about 5,000-6,000. They had a very compact stadium right in the sort of centre of housing.
What was their old stadium called?
Elm Park.
As
soon as they moved to Majeski, they market the club different. They tap on 10,000 to their attendances, they get the attendances up, they get the banquet and what have you, and then they can start competing, and now they're the club they are. You've still at the heart got 4,000-6,000 Reading fans that remember the old days, and that would be Brentford could become that Reading. Yeah. So you would be in that hardcore 5,000-6,000. If you're a Reading fan, they've now become a sort of not a nothing club, but to me that like I see them as a very family orientated. They've still got that hardcore support.
Put it this way, they're sponsored by Waitrose these days. I mean,
and it's very much they are the blueprint for. And obviously that's brilliant because they've had the success. They've been to the Premier League. Me personally, would I like Gillingham to go to a stadium like that and have 18,000 watching us, knowing that 10,000 just turn up and be fans.
Not even watching the football.
I'd rather bounce around League Two and League One stay in the ground that we've got. But it'd be interesting to see how Brentford do it and how much support.
You've got to go up first, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've got to go up.
Yeah, well, the ground's happening anyway, isn't it? The ground's not.
The ground's happening as long as Boris Johnson gives a go ahead. But it's an interesting one, isn't it? And someone like Fulham have established themselves as a Premiership club. In fact, it's quite remarkable how long they've kept themselves in the Premiership. I think it's completely remarkable.
For a club of that size, and there's no disrespect to them,
they're just such a meh club, aren't they?
They've always had good players, though, that's the thing.
But they've always been a relatively small London club. They've always, before the last 10 or so years, they were always Championship max, more than likely.
Yep.
League One equivalent. I mean, you think back to 1996, they were in what was the third division.
In the mid 90s, they were a club Gillingham size sort of thing. Yeah. They were getting very few. And
they got Keegan, didn't they?
Craven Cottage, yeah.
Well, Ray Wilkins and then Keegan. And Tagana. Al Fayed was the.
Craven Cottage was in a decrepit state.
It's really cute,
This is the thing. That's the difference between Fulham and Reading. What Fulham have done with that ground is beautiful. And they've got so much. Yeah. You go back to the days of like Bobby Moore playing there and the sort of players that they had.
George Best.
Exactly.
It's not changed a lot.
The ground's not changed a lot. But always back then, they used to say Fulham's a very sort of family club and it's very safe.
Yeah.
They've definitely got a place. I just don't know any Fulham fans. That was
apparently the away dressing room is an absolute fucking tip as well. So you know it's quite a wake up call to teams like Man United who do travel away, and Fulham have got a great home record and a really bad away record.
It goes back to the days of Wimbledon when they used to play really loud punk music through the walls and praise going. They used to turn the hot water off in the chamber and things like that.
Electricity stops working.
Love the old school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Speaking of old school, yes, tenuous link. Gattuso being investigated from match fixing.
He's not had a good month because he came out and said that there was no place for women in football, and that's got him a lot of stick. And Jim says as he nods.
For anyone
and
who
smiles.
Can't see Jim's face right now,
I just think he's funny.
Yeah,
how old is he?
He must be about 37 now. He's younger
than Pirlo.
I was about to say 38.
He's younger than Pirlo.
Yeah.
But he was managing. He got sacked after two games.
Wait, he was managing. Yeah,
really?
No, he was managing.
Lost the dressing room.
He was managing in Switzerland last year. and didn't do very well there. And then he got a job with someone like Palermo, I want to say, or
something like that, and then got sacked like straight away.
Genoa, something like that.
A fairly
now he's getting
lower end.
Talking of Italian managers, Watford doing all right so far, and although I don't know,
they're
playing Yeovil last night in the late kick-off. Yeah. I don't know what the score is.
Oh, he got killed off.
Killed off.
Oh yeah,
called off.
That is a shame because I was on the way.
That was for our Aussie fans. Like, killed off.
Yeah.
It was live on Sky as well.
Yeah, I knew it was. Yeah, it was always going to be in doubt. I saw a load of Watford fans heading down from Hertfordshire into London on the morning. Yeah. I thought you'd be very lucky.
I wouldn't worry about that.
If you're doing the drive though, you can always stop off at Stonehenge. Yeah.
Gillingham.
Or Gillingham.
Because Gillingham Town is on the way. Gillingham, yeah. Gillingham Town playing Dorset. Adrian Foster's their manager at the moment.
How do you spell Gillingham?
Exactly the same as Gillingham. Just yeah. with the
a girt instead of a jerk.
Is it full of chaffs?
No, it's really nice. really nice.
If you get the train to Yeovil or Dorchester, you go through it, and they pronounce it Gillingham, which I always think is wrong, and it is.
It is, yeah. And quite often, they have rearranged their kickoffs two or three times when Gills have been playing at Yeovil or one of the Bristol clubs. They put their kickoff back to an evening kickoff on a Saturday. So Gills go down, play at Yeovil, and then on the way back, a couple of hundred Gills fans get off at Gillingham and go and watch Gillingham Town. So their usual attendance is like 100 or whatever, and suddenly they get 300-400.
Oh, that's quite a nice touch.
Well, really, a load of pissed up Gills fans.
It's money, isn't it?
It's money.
Yeah,
it's money.
Jim Staples money. Ripping up this leafy Dorset village.
It's nice.
Do they have a Wetherspoons?
No, I can't remember.
Council won't allow it, will it?
No.
Don't think we talked about Mario Balotelli's boots.
No,
and just for the banter, I think that's hilarious. He wore boots with that had painted on or designed newspaper clippings of all his misdemeanors and past mischievous antics. Yeah, it was all the negative headlines about him.
He's definitely going to score, isn't he? Against us in the World Cup.
Oh yeah.
Him and Suarez.
I can already see the front page of the Sun.
Suarez the joint first for quickest ever 20 goals in the Premier League.
He is the quickest, isn't it?
No, joint with Andy Cole, 15 games it took him. Andy Cole was 94.
Well, have you seen the stat with Suarez? He scored something like once against the top 8 and then the rest have come against the bottom 12 or something like that.
That's like Henry, isn't it?
Yeah.
Henry never used to score against a big team.
And to be fair, I think that gives him a disservice because he's played very well in a lot of games against big teams.
The guy
he's
not had the change.
I mean, well, the Spurs game, he scored one in the Spurs game, but he set up the other three.
Well, exactly, I think.
Or three of the other. I mean, the guy is unplayable at the moment.
If you haven't got him in your dream team, you're not doing well, are you?
I didn't see the free kick yesterday. Apparently, it was a 30-yard free kick. He bent in.
Great technique. But, I mean,
he's such a dick. He's such a dick. His stupid little face and his facial expressions. But he's so good.
Do you know what? I forget where I read this and who was talking about him. But apparently, he's like really good for all the young players around the training ground, around the dressing room. Like he's. He's quite an integral figure, you know.
Oh, don't tell us that. Let's just say but he's a prick.
Yeah, he's a prick. I mean, I was watching...
Cunt.
The chap
whoa,
is...
Whoa.
Well, no, we get one a show.
Yeah, but my friend's granddad, I was chatting to him about over Christmas about this show, and he really wants to listen to it, old Uncle Frank. And hi, Uncle Frank, because I'll send you a link in a minute. So don't use C-bombs like that. It's not necessary.
Uncle Frank's going to nut you if he ever meets you.
Didn't you say he was your friend's granddad? Why is he called him uncle? Oh, I thought he was your granddad for some reason.
Yeah. Over Christmas, a chap who sits next to me at work's a Chelsea fan. He was watching a video. I don't know if we've spoken about it before or anything. Where a young lad who's been ill gets to spend the day with the Chelsea players, and he's asking them all, "Oh, what's your favourite moment in football?" So Etu says, "Oh, winning the Champions League," and I think Mata said, "Winning the World Cup or something." And he asked David Luiz, and David Luiz said, "Meeting you today," and gave him a hug. But on the subject of horrible people, John Terry meets him, gives him
a training shirt,
and then what I think is a hilarious touch, I don't like John Terry, but fair enough, he got fully kitted up to go and have
Shinpads.
A kick about with him on the pitch.
Nice
touch. I mean, John Terry is a bit of an arsehole.
Any excuse.
He is a cunt.
Stop it.
Uncle Frank, sorry about this. Don't worry, he's off to have a kid, he's just going to swear at them, it's fine.
Still the most informed centre-back for England though, isn't he?
I'd have him in.
What, him and Cahill?
I'd have him and Dawson probably.
Too slow. Yeah.
That's no pace at all.
I don't like Cahill and I don't like the other chap.
I'm not a big fan of either of them, but I still have them ahead of Dawson.
I'm supporting Ecuador at the World Cup anyway.
I'm a Spurs fan.
Osvaldorans are going to batter you.
Have we talked about the Champions League draw? I'd love to see Drogba pull one over Chelsea.
Has it been played yet? There's a friendly PSG Real Madrid.
Yeah, it's on Thursday.
Why would you have a Christmas break? Why would you? When you're going to be made to play these games?
It's a 2:30 in the afternoon. Ugh.
Can you imagine what the Premier League would be like if we do have a winter break? Can you imagine how many games United, Chelsea are?
Yeah.
You would end up getting United,
in
Chelsea,
China,
Arsenal,
and
Liverpool,
places
Spurs,
like that, Thailand,
and City going in playing like a 16 tournament.
Just no point. No point at all. Why would you have that winter break? Other than the money you can earn for your club.
I'll tell you who could do with a winter break or a summer break, and that's Melbourne Heart. Have you seen?
Yeah, well, I was going to leave that to next week.
Well, I think we've got to mention the elephant that is or isn't in the room with John Aloisi being sacked.
You can't really argue with it either, can you?
Well, the form is absolutely terrible.
You know who's coming back to replace him? John Vanshipp, the guy who got him to the playoffs the other year.
I suppose not the worst idea.
Going back's not the greatest idea either, though, is it?
It's a bit of a Rafa Benitez situation.
Yeah. So if you're going to go safety first.
Yeah.
Safety first.
Unlike Tim Sherwood. Good, Tim.
Yeah. Good, Tim. Any more?
Well, transfer window's open.
Who do you want to see? Move where?
Do you know what? As long as we don't lose our players, I don't give a shit.
I want to see Chelsea lose Mata, because then they'll realise just how stupid that was to let him go.
Ideally, if you're listening, Jose, we'll take it.
Arsenal need a striker now, don't they? I know we take
well,
the piss out.
With Berbatov,
what do you mean? They haven't got a striker anymore.
They've got Podolski and Walcott.
No, they're not proper
strikers.
They're not out and out strikers. I don't think we're wrong. I'm the first person to give Nicholas Bentler a load of stick, because he is such a prick. But having scored a late goal to give basically Arsenal a win, right, and then get injured whilst scoring that goal, to then get booed and jeered off, having scored the goal, having get injured whilst scoring, is pretty fucking harsh, isn't it?
You got booed off by
the Arsenal fans. They jeered when he.
He's actually responsible for 6 points, isn't he?
He scored the winning goal.
I was watching that. He's done that twice.
And then he basically got jeered like. The fact that he was going off by the Arsenal fans. I mean, that is harsh. That is really, really harsh.
Are you sure they
Arsenal
did that? Scum. Are you sure you understood?
Yeah. It's been well documented in the press, James.
I'm sure he doesn't mind. It's well documented that he earns a lot of money for being a rubbish player because he is useless.
But
he's clearly not useless.
I don't think he's useless at all. And also, his comments about joining Real Madrid and Barcelona, which he's been absolutely pillared and posted for on Twitter and whatever. He didn't actually say anything like what they made out. He said, "Oh, I'd like to play for Real Madrid, Barcelona, obviously," but, and then he went on to have a pretty fair
realisation of his own ridiculous career stuff.
I got no problem with Ben. I think he's all right.
Well, we'll see what happens in the transfer window.
I mean, personally, for me, for the transfer window, I'm not going to get bogged down in who we need to sign, but I would like to see Nick Powell, who Jim discovered a few years ago. I'd like to see him go to a Premier League club on loan.
He's at Wigan, isn't he?
He's only a half season loan. So he's come back, we're monitoring him.
You could probably do him playing him.
Well, that's it, potentially, but there's also a goal scorer.
So
there's the likes of Jesse Lingard as well, who's gone back, and I think Tunnicliffe's going back, who's done very well at Ipswich.
Patrick Bamford
as well, being at MK Dons, absolutely fine.
Who?
Patrick Bamford, plays for Chelsea.
Yeah.
So there's a few, it'd be interesting to see if they can get a chance in the Premier League.
I'm more worried about players Spurs might lose, than we might sign.
Who are you going to lose?
Lamela.
He's not really been involved in your season, but
you want to give a player like that a chance. He comes with a reputation, and why hasn't he played at Roma?
Under Tim Sherwood, then.
He's only just taken over, and Sherwood's looked to have secured things up pretty quickly.
There was another player I'd never heard of who played for Bentaleb, who looked amazing.
He came on for his debut.
He played well, not yesterday.
He came on for his debut 2 games ago, and with half hour to go, and was quality. 19-year-old French Algerian, I think he is, Bentaleb.
He played some fucker on the left who wasn't very good either, though. So why aren't he giving Lamella a go?
What do you mean he played some fucker on the left?
Someone
Ericsson?
Smith or someone like that? Some young lad.
No, that was
on
the Liverpool game.
Oh, right.
That was Liverpool brought on a young lad called Smith.
That's right.
Well, it's good knowledge then. Did you know that if you add up the players of each squad in the Premier League, so if you add up all of their Premier League appearances, Man United come top. So if you collectively put all of their appearances together,
they've the history of the Premier League.
No, in the current Premier League.
Oh, right, okay.
So if you take Man United squad, if you add all their Premier League appearances together,
in terms of their experience,
they're most experienced. Do you know the second team in the country is
Tottenham?
QPR. Playing in the championship.
Really?
If you had
are you talking about just playing for their team or
no internal
Premier League.
I'm not surprised by that.
But then you got your Anthony Potters,
really?
Your Cranchards,
your Genuses.
Rob Green's played a lot of games.
Rob Green, yeah.
Centre back, big ugly fucker. Richard, is it Dunn?
Dunn, yeah. Richard
Dunn.
Oh,
yeah.
Richard Dunn.
Played that.
He's playing at Fulham, isn't he?
He
scored a cracking goal over Christmas, didn't he?
I missed a few as well.
He does score cracking goals though, but that's about it.
That's what he does. But Sky Sports tomorrow, Friday night football.
Be there.
Yeah. In fact, Gillingham are on Sky Sports Friday night football 2 weeks out of the next three.
Have you noticed that?
We've got
playing us? Yeah, but we're not going to watch that on telly, are we?
No, we'll be there. Well, I'm not going to watch it on telly tomorrow, I'll be there.
Is there any tickets left for it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Plenty.
£10 only.
Fantastic.
Hey, we don't even sell out in playoff finals.
Maybe if they're coming in the Chills End.
Maybe I'll
fucking not.
I was going to say maybe if I took tickets to do after me.
You won't be able to buy a Jill's ticket on the day anyway. You'll have to go.
Come and stand in the fucking Ealing Road, mate. Yeah, stand in the away end. They'll have more fun in the away end.
They will not.
Of course they will.
Standing at Brentford's good fun.
We could have one in each. We'll see. We'll work that out. But
one
I'm
in each.
That.
One more in each.
Leg.
So one foot
one
set.
Leg. Yeah, one.
No. So say me with you and Dan with Andy, or vice versa, or whoever.
We'll have to. Right, we'll have to do a special pub cast.
You know that whatever name you tell you to pick the other one.
I know.
Sorry for that as well. All right.
But anyway, I think that I'm right.
Actually, there is one thing.
Oh,
you keep mentioning it on your bloody crib sheet, and you never talk about it.
That's because I never checked the fantasy football.
So
Jason Bayer Solsona with the Macondo Rovers is top of the league at the moment.
Not much in it.
No. Who's,
no. 7 points.
Who's the top pubcaster by any chance?
I don't know. It's not on the list, unfortunately.
No,
hang on. Can we make
number nine? That'd be FC Franksy.
Right, well done, FC.
Muzzy uses its first 11 from Ian Stimpson. He's just behind. There's only 7 points in that.
Yeah.
Actually, who's got the best team then?
I have to say, I haven't checked it for
Hazards,
one.
Stripey Jumpers 11.
Jingle Jangle, Super White Army. There's quite a lot of people in here. Hang on.
No,
also, you're only 1 point ahead of Jerome.
Still top?
Yeah.
Still top of the podcast.
I'm not even sure.
Yeah. Did I put a team in?
Oh,
no, you didn't.
I'm 35th. I was second and then I stopped checking. So.
Who's down the bottom?
No one cares.
Oxfam County FC.
Alan Mottershead.
Come on, Alan.
Firas. That's his second bottom.
Oh, put your finger out, Firas.
Come on, Firas.
Right, well, on that note, you know the usual. Email us, banner@footballpubcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpubcast.
I'm off to have a baby.
Find us on footballpubcast.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter @footballpubcast, and I'll tell you what, tweet in what you think we should call Andy Frank's baby and he will definitely
do
that.
And there's going to be a show photo in a minute, isn't there?
There will be. First show photo in ages. Fantastic. See you later, guys.